You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
John chapter 6, beginning at verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he has sent me, that all which he hath given me I shall live, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. I'll raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Verse 64. There are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man could come unto me except it were given him unto him of my Father. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we ask it. Amen. Again, we want to, at the outset, thank you for this privilege. And we do look to you for special work in our midst this morning, as you take us aside now from the cares of this life and set our affections upon those things that are above. Hence, we need your energizing work in our minds and our heart, our whole man at this time. And we look to you for that energizing work right here and right now, as you cleanse us and sanctify us to your purpose. Help us to be faithful to the word as we honor your great Son, in order that your purposes might be accomplished right here. Rebuke the evil one now, as you met out that which is necessary for each mind and each heart, in order that your purposes would be accomplished. Thank you for attending to this, Father. Because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, today we want to talk about perhaps the one thing that divides the theological world and has from the beginning: the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Probably the oldest controversy there is in the Bible. And not that we're going to settle it here this morning, but at the same time, we're going to, I believe, by the grace of God, enable you to see the reasons why men take these two extreme positions. They've never been able to reconcile them. For instance, no man can come to the Father except to the Lord unless the Father draw him. That we read in our scriptures. In the book of Revelation, concerning looking back at the crucifixion from God's point of view now, not from man's point of view. Man's point of view sees Calvary 2,000 years ago. Every historical record that's worth anything identifies the crucifixion of Christ 2,000 years ago. And yet we read in the book of Revelation in chapter 13 concerning those whose names in verse 8, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that as far as God was concerned, 2,000 years ago, that which we understand took place. But from God's vantage point, he was slain from the foundation of the world. You see, we're looking at a perspective. When you see any truth, you must realize where it's coming from and the perspective that's behind it. The statements of God, according to the Word of God, leave no doubt about who is the sovereign of this universe. He is the sovereign God of this universe. Not even a sparrow falls from the tree without his permission and knowledge. If that isn't sovereignty, I don't know what is. So when we speak about that, we're seeing things in the reality of the infinite mind of God. A personality that is not affected by time. You see, time is the very essence of our life. Whether it be one day, or in my case, 75 years. Everything turns on time. Not so with God. He's in eternity. He is not bothered by time. Hence tonight, there'll be millions of people praying to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God can take aside that individual prayer and spend as much time as he wants to with it and not be affected at all by time down here. There have been a few men in life who have captured this in human terminology. Mr. Shakespeare caught the vision of it. But he said, life is a stage, and we're the players. Each one crosses in time. But the director of the play he's not bothered with the time of that play. Hence, tonight when you pray, the director of the play, you see, the stage, life, God can take your prayer aside, and just like a director of a play can take any actor at a play and spend hours with him, although the actor may not spend maybe 5 minutes on the stage. You see? In other words, when we speak about God, we're speaking about the Eternal One, the One who inhabits eternity, where time is not a dimension. One day, we'll be in that place where time will not be a factor. Won't that be wonderful? You ladies will never be late. Because time won't be a factor. You see? Now, when we begin to understand this, we can understand the truth that man does have a will. And he exercised it freely. But notice in chapter 5 of John how he exercises that will. Verse 4. Perhaps we should read verse 39 with it. John 5, 39 and 40. Search the scriptures. That's good advice. Why? For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Underscore this in your Bible. You will not come to me. That's man's volition. He will not come. And the reason he won't come is referred to in John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness. Oh, that's you, not me. Yes, you. Let me give you an illustration. Right from the beginning, it was that way. When Adam and Eve were faced with the tree of life, Satan said to her, "You don't believe you'll really die if you eat that fruit, do you? Don't you know? Your eyes will be opened. You'll be like the God." And she saw the tree. It was a tree to make one wise. It's pleasant to look upon. Have you looked upon that tree? Something to make you wise. Pleasant to look upon. Something to be desired. God had clothed Adam and Eve in his own image. And God is light. In him is no darkness at all. They were clothed with the Shekinah glory of God. That's why their nakedness didn't bother them. They were clothed with light. And when Eve took that fruit, she lost that glory. She turned to her husband and offered him some fruit. And the Hebrew has a little mark over the top, and she gave to her husband. And then it says, you find a semicolon there. It says, and then he did eat. But above that semicolon in the Hebrew is a little mark called a tittle. And that tittle speaks of a pause. Just like when you play music, you find in a music score little marks that say stop before you move on, before you play on. Adam looked at her, his wife, and the glory that they were clothed with was gone. And that's why that little pause is put there. Because at that moment in time, Adam chose Eve rather than God. And from that day to this, men love what? Paul, writing about that, says Eve was in the transgression because of her. She was beguiled. She was ignorant. But Adam was a choice with both eyes open. He knew exactly what he was doing. Why? He loved the darkness. No different. Men will not come because they love dark. Now, here's one of the great mysteries of the Bible. Turn to chapter 8. Now, verse 34. Rather, verse 31, I'm sorry. Jesus is talking to those who were making some profession. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." Learners, if that's the thought about our followers. "You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest that you may be made free?" Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin or practices sin is a servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen in my Father, and you do that which you've seen of your father." The answer said unto him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham. But you now seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Notice, and you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be born not of fornication. We have one father, even God. They still teach that old lie, the fatherhood of God. Let me inject this before I consider on reading. The fact that God is the creator does not make him a father. He created a jackass, but he's not the father of jackass. Fatherhood is a relationship. Now Jesus goes on to say, if God were your father, you'd love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. And here's why. Ye are of your father, the devil. And that word of is out of the Greek word ek, which means out of. Ye are out of the what? Now, this is one of the great mysteries of life. You know, the first two children, first two boys born in this world of Adam and Eve, one was named Cain, the other named Abel. Remember that? Hold your place in John and go to 1 John just for a second. Verse 12. 1 John 3:12. Perhaps you should read verse 11 with it. This is the message that you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Not as Cain, which was ek, out of what? That wicked one. This is one of the great mysteries of Scripture. Coming back to John now, in chapter 8 again. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. Verse 47. Notice here's that again. He that is ek, out of God, hears what? Hears God's word. Beloved, every man there, go back now to the reading of our text this morning in chapter 6. In verse, I can't even see good. He that hears and learns. That's verse 45. Now he's speaking here to the children of Israel. That's the context, but the principle still holds true. It's written in the prophets, you shall all be taught of God. And let me say this. From the days of John the Baptist until Paul arrived at Rome at the close of the book of Acts, every Jew on this planet had been informed and had heard who Jesus Christ was. In fact, the matter is, the leaders of Israel themselves were smarter than some of our liberal theologians today. They understood that he claimed to be God. And for that reason, they wanted to stone him to death. Why? They didn't believe it. Today, many theologians deny the fact that he's God. At least you can't blame the Pharisees for not knowing. They just didn't believe it. Looking, however, notice at verse 45. Every man, therefore, that had heard, had learned of the Father, cometh to me. You see, Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost. He said, this is that which was spoken with the prophet Joel. Should come to pass the last days that God will pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Now that was never fulfilled in the letter, because only Israel that could be said true of. One day it will be true, though. It does not mean that every man will be saved. But every man will be hearing. And the only reason why the man will not come is because he loves the darkness rather than God. God does not mock any man. He is telling the truth. It's even the devil himself. You see, in the Garden of Eden, he was cast out of the very presence of the throne room of God centuries before that. And he was allowed to come into the garden, and God had told Adam to guard the garden against every living thing. And he gave him dominion and authority to do that. But what did Satan do? He went right straight to destroy the human race. He was still a rebel. And man is a rebel. But there are some rebels who are of God, and there are some rebels who are of the devil. Those who are of God are those who inherited that sting of death because of sin through Adam. But there are some, and I say, this is a mystery. I don't understand it. And God doesn't ask me to understand it. He asked me to believe it. God is never mocking anybody. He didn't even mock the devil. He gave him every opportunity. But he loved what? No man can ever say, well, it was foreordained. It is true it was foreordained, but notice why. Notice. Verse 64 and 65. John 6, where we are in our text. There's some of you that believe not. And Jesus what? Knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and should betray him. And therefore, this is the reason he'd said what he did before. In the light of that fact, notice, underscore the word knew and therefore. He knew from the beginning who they were. And verse 36, therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Because he knew their heart. He knew that regardless of what he said or did or demonstrated, it wouldn't make any difference. Because why? They love darkness. You see, the world by wisdom knew not God. Never will. That's the only way man can. When man hears, and what? And learns, the Father will draw him. But man, now you see, that's written from man's perspective, so that man can say and know that God is sovereign, not only sovereign, but he is just. No man is going to go to hell because God ordained him to go to hell. He's going to go there because he loves that sort of company. That's where he feels at home. That's the reason he's there. He goes there because of his own choice to go. No man is going to be sent there. They're going there by their own choice. In fact, the matter is, hell was not even made for man. Turn to Matthew 25, verse 41. It's the judgment of the nations. Jesus is talking to them. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say unto the men on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? Wasn't prepared for you. You go there because of your choice. You got a will. And you will not come to him. Why? Because you love what? Darkness. And God knows that. This is why, and from God's perspective, from before the foundation of the world, he could choose you unto salvation. Because you were out of him. As I say, I don't understand this. This is the point I don't understand. Those people who are out of Satan, God will not draw because they love darkness. Now, you may say, well, that's awful, awful close. No, it isn't. Very kind. Turn with me to the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 10. His disciples are speaking to Jesus. He's been speaking in parables. And they came to him and said, why speakest thou unto them parables? He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And whosoever hath to him shall be given to him that he shall have more abundance, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away that he hath. Therefore I spake to them in parable, because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. You see, one of the kindest things God can do to you is not to draw you, because he knows where your love is. And if he drew you then, and you still rejected, then you would. Your guilt would be double. You see, God's going to do the right thing. In eternity, even the man that goes to hell will be judged according to his works. His going there is by his own choice. He's rewarded according to his works. In other words, Satan will have the lowest part of that pit. But such men as Hitler and men of this caliber, I'm pretty close to the bottom too. But the great philanthropers of this world, who are making a name for themselves to the satisfaction of their own flesh, they will not be rewarded in the same way that Hitler was rewarded. See? They will not come to God, but nevertheless, they have not committed in the flesh those evil things that other men have. God is just. He'll always do the right thing. And when you talk about rewards, that's one thing. When you talk about eternal life, that's another thing. The eternal life that you have in Christ Jesus is a gift. There's nothing on earth you can do about it. God has done everything that needs to be done. The only thing that you have to do is to receive him and believe God. Every man that goes into God's presence will go there because they have believed God. And every man that goes to hell will go there because he has not believed God. So looking at it from God's perspective, and that's the real fact, God is sovereign. Man cannot do anything without God's energy, that's for sure. He has to intervene. But God is not going to cast his pearl before swine either. You see? Lest they turn and rent him. So God is really being very gracious when he does not draw some men to him, because they are out of what? Out of that wicked one. God is all-knowing. He knows. And notice again that verse. He said this to them, no man can come, because he knew. Look at that again. Verse 64 and 65. There are some of you that do not, that believe not. For Jesus knew. Now verse 35. Therefore. Jesus knew. Therefore. 65. And because he knew, he said this. No man can come to me except the Father draw them. But it's a kindness not to draw them. Their guilt is less guilty. That's the grace of God. You see, you and I don't know who are out of the wicked one, and we do not know who's out of God. We're just told to be a witness. God's sovereignty is going to rule right straight through. It never varied one hair. And yet man is going to be without excuse whatsoever, because he is going to willfully reject because of one reason. He loves the darkness. So from man's perspective, yes, he can boast about his will. He does have a will. You see? And yet God is sovereign. And the problem, of course, turns on a finite mind trying to analyze and understand an infinite mind. An infinite mind who is not confined to a period of time, but is one who inhabits eternity, where time is not relative. There are five fundamental facts that every scientist who begins to investigate must face up to. In the beginning, that speaks of time, God created the heavens, that's space, and the earth, that's material. And the Spirit of God, speaks of power. Move, that speaks of action. Those five fundamental facts every scientific investigation must be built upon. That's the wisdom of this world. But you see, when you move into God's territory, that don't mean a thing. Because time is not relevant, and God is spirit. You see? Those things are not relative. And so when we sit out with our little peanut finite mind and try to overcome the great gulf that separates, you see, we're just whistling Dixie. And I assure you, beloved, the South is not going to rise again. I wish it would, but it's going to... You see? This is what we have done. This is the great God we worship. This is the one who loved us. And that I'll never understand that. This is the God who laid aside his robes of glory, not his deity, but his glory, and condescended to become a human being. It's like, I've used this before, but it's good. If you had a house full of termites, what would you do with them if you could? You just wipe them out. But God didn't do that. He became a termite. He came down here and became one of us. To do what? Those that would respond in love toward his love, he was going to save them termites. That's what we are, see. That's, Jesus referred to himself, I'm a man, no man but a worm. And that's what we are. Before God. The mystery of it is, though, that he loves you. That is the mystery that is beyond human mind to grasp. When such a one as this, the one who inhabits eternity, the one who is the sovereign God of the universe, has condescended to allow man to reject him even. That's a gracious act. He's allowed man to reject him. Can you imagine that? That's real sovereignty. Father, thank you for the word and the fellowship. May the Holy Spirit now plumb the heart and the mind for understanding. That moves into a realm of perspective that looks at things as God sees them, and then seeing things from the rationale of humanity, that gives us a comfort to know, though to those that are in Christ at least, that all is well. God makes no mistakes. If someone here, though, has been disturbed by this, does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, it may be that this is a time of your enlightenment when God wants to draw you to Himself. And now is the day of salvation. Undertake to these ends, Lord, as you bless this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.